This is the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 30, and I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. As the team prepares for the final week of the preseason, there is a lot going on in a very few days. The Eagles have won all three of their preseason games, with the final outing on Thursday against the New York Jets. It's a critical game for players on the roster bubble, and so we'll discuss the mindset of the locker room a bit later in the podcast. It's also time for the Eagles to get down to the 53-player roster limit, which they must do by 4 p.m. on Saturday. Let's start the show with head coach Doug Peterson, who has good things to say about what he's seen so far in the preseason, and who knows how real it all gets when the Cleveland Browns and September 11th come into full focus. Doug, we're into game four here of the preseason. Give us the big picture of what you've seen from this football team from the very first day you got them together.
I tell you, I've seen a group that has really, number one, they've worked hard. I truly believe they've bought into what we've taught them and what we've brought, both offensively and defensively, and obviously special teams. And I've seen this group come together, especially last week in Indianapolis, and how well they played, how hard they played, you know, and the fact that they're not turning anything down, meaning sometimes when a new coach comes in, they just kind of go, now we don't really buy that. And I haven't seen that from our guys. So that's been probably the biggest thing that I've seen from day one.
Two key things with the offense, only two giveaways in three preseason games, and the third down percentage is increased and improved. Two huge statistics, I imagine, for you.
Huge, and then obviously our red zone efficiency has been pretty good too in the last three games, but I've put our guys in some tough situations in training camp, a lot of third down situations. We've had a ton of reps there, and you know, we don't preach taking care of the football. I mean, that's, it goes without saying, you touch the ball, you take care of it. And to that credit, the guys have done a nice job there, and just, you know, the way we've been able to sort of move the ball. It was good last week to score touchdowns and to get the ball in the end zone like we did was great going into the regular season.
How has Sam's command of the offense improved since day one?
I'm seeing more confidence in the offense with Sam. He's embracing receivers. He's getting with receivers after practice and throwing routes and trying to work out some specifics and some details on routes. He's really taking a nice command of everything. Is it perfect all the time? No, it's not. But you see him battling through maybe some calls, because I don't think he's just used to making these long huddle calls like we ask him to do. And he's really done a nice job. You know, as part of the process is just keep him coming that way and just give him a few new things each and every week and keep these guys, especially the quarterback position, keep their minds thinking.
How do you feel about the way the offensive line has developed? You've changed some people around, and then you've also had a lot of young players who have been in the mix. That group as a whole.
You know, the one thing that I liked about what we did in training camp with moving guys around, it's part of what the regular season is all about. You know, guys aren't always going to be in the same spots. And for someone like, you know, Barbary to move out to right tackle and play some tackle spots and get Isaac some reps in there at left guard and to get Wisniewski in there. And, you know, it's really part of what you do during the regular season. And then to see your young guys play as well as they've played, not perfect, but they're playing hard and they're going in the right direction, goes to, you know, how well Coach Stout teaches them, the simplicity of the offensive line structure from calls. There's not a ton of calls that they have to make. I've been on teams as a player where that second and third string offensive line hasn't been very good. I would love to play with, you know, this second and third string offensive line that we had in camp. I just think they're that good.
The significance of game four from a head coaching standpoint?
Biggest thing is come out healthy. You know, it goes without saying, you know, you want all your players to walk away and be injury free. At the same time, you want to see how your young players, you're still making decisions and you're still evaluating, you know, several guys that are going to play in this game and execution. And again, you keep it very simple for them. But at the same time, you know, you want to see them flying around. You want to see them take care of the football, eliminate mistakes, penalties, turnovers, the whole thing, and let them win a football game.
For the fans who are watching, Doug, what positions should they focus on? Where is the most roster competition?
Well, they can focus at a receiver spot. We'll have six receivers up this game, and you know, you'll see, you know, DGB and Josh Huff a little bit early in the first half, but after that, our young guys that we have in the secondary, I think the corner position is another area of focus, you know, because again, there's some young guys in there. CJ Smith, who played a little bit last week, you get a chance to watch him, and really some of the young offense and defensive linemen, if you're focused interiorly, you know, watching that, then you know, there's some young guys up there, you know, with the Darrell Greens and the Dylan Gordons and Josh Andrews and Barrett Jones. I mean, guys that are gonna, you know, legit chance to make your roster. So there's plenty to look at in this game, but those are just a couple of spots.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Dave.
For the players who are going to suit up against the Jets, Thursday means everything. We begin with quarterback Chase Daniel, who expects to play at least the first half of the game. He understands what it's like to be on the roster bubble. He understands what it's like to play not only for one team, but for the other 31 watching on film. Chase, what does week four of the preseason mean to you?
It means a lot. I think it, not only to me, but to a lot of guys in this room. You know, guys that are second teamers, third teamers, maybe bubble roster guys. It means a whole lot. They're going to go out there, put it on the line. They're going to put it on the film because they understand, and I understand, that you're not only auditioning for this team, you're auditioning for 31 other teams.
Do you notice a different level of tension rising this week with some of the guys?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put it as tension. It's been a pretty short week. We've had two pretty good practices with the young guys running the show out there. I've been actually pretty impressed, so hopefully that carries over to the playing field and we go out there and ultimately win. You know, if we win, we go out there, do our jobs, the rest will take care of itself.
From May until now, what you see with players being in the right position in this scheme, describe the difference.
Yeah, light years difference. I mean, I think there's definitely a ladder that you have to step on and keep building this ship, and we're headed in the right direction. By no means are we there, but I think, you know, the Indy game was a very good representation of where we're going. Now, we have a lot to do. You know, there's some kinks to work out, stuff like that. We got to put guys in the right positions. Guys got to make some plays here and there. You know, especially, you know, I can't really speak for defense. Defense has been playing their lights out, but offensively, I think we're headed in the right direction.
Is the scheme in 1 to 100 different than what it was last year? Are there different looks that you've seen, different wrinkles that have been added?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think one of the best things we did this offseason, not only obviously hiring Doug, but bringing in Coach Frank Reich, and he's brought quite a bit of different schemes from San Diego, you know, his time at San Diego, and it's been really helpful for us. And, you know, quite honestly, it's like a quarterback stream, man. They did some pretty interesting stuff in San Diego, and we were able to add on here and there, and he's been great for us, not only, you know, from a quarterback room perspective, but also having been a play caller and getting those plays out there, it's been great.
So your perspective, your mindset going into this game, how you use it to kind of get you ready for next week?
Yeah, no, I think my mindset is just go out there and have fun. You know, if I look back at all the games that I've played and when I've played the best, I've always had fun. I've always told myself, just go out there, have fun. We put so much pressure on ourselves to go out there and play. So especially these younger guys that are just, you know, so nervous. And I just try to just let them know, hey, man, you're going to do great. Just go out there, have fun, enjoy the game, because it's a game we play. Let's go out there, have fun, and let's take care of ourselves.
Thanks, Chase.
All right, thanks.
Defensive tackle Bo Allen isn't on the roster bubble. In fact, he's been outstanding in the 4-3 front this summer. But he's going to get a lot of snaps on Thursday, and he knows that the extra work will make him razor sharp for the regular season. Bo, the fourth preseason game, it's interesting. How do you feel about it? I mean, I would think you'd think you're going to make the team.
Yeah, I mean, you never really know, though. You don't want to, like, feel too comfortable and then get completely blindsided. So, I mean, big game. Any game's a big game, and I'm anticipating playing a lot. So just want to prepare the right way and treat it seriously and, you know, do my due diligence, I guess, so I go out there and, you know, put my best foot forward on tape.
So that assignment is then an exciting one for you because you're going to be playing a lot of football on Thursday night.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, football players want to play football. Anytime you get out there, your blood gets hot and you want to go, so I'll be ready to go and I'll be good and hopefully get a lot of snaps.
You're feeling, Bo, on the way this defensive line is coming together?
I think we're coming together well, yeah. I feel good about us. Obviously, it's only been the preseason, so you don't want to get too, you know, pleased with yourself, I guess. But I think we have the opportunity to be a really good squad and really help out our defense and our team.
What is the tempo like for a fourth preseason game when there is a sense of desperation on the field?
Oh, that's a really good way to put it. I think for a lot of guys, there is that sense of desperation, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, but just to be brutally honest, for a lot of guys, it's probably their last football game at this level in the NFL, and I think a lot of guys kind of realize that it's kind of a different tempo. You know, you get a lot of guys out there that maybe haven't gotten as many reps during camp, so it's not as clean as a regular season game, certainly, or the previous preseason games. But I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's really fun to play. You see a lot of faces that you haven't really seen before, and, you know, obviously there's not a whole lot of game plan that goes into it, so you just get the opportunity to work on your stuff at a very basic level, which is kind of nice.
Do you remember what it was like as a rookie, kind of not being sure of your roster standing and the sense of tension perhaps that you felt that week?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's stressful. There is a lot of tension and you never really know kind of what's going to happen or how it's going to shake out, and you still don't know. This is my third year and, you know, you never feel really too certain. So, I mean, it's stressful and, you know, I mentioned this a ton and it's really cliche, but you just got to focus on yourself and doing what you can do, you know, to feel comfortable. And, like, I always play my best when I prepare really well, and then you just feel comfortable and confident in yourself that you can go out there and do what you need to do. And, you know, so when you practice well, you don't really have a whole lot to worry about because it usually shows up on tape.
Well, good luck on Thursday.
Thanks, bud.
Hi, I'm tight end Brent Celek.
Touchdown, Brent Celek!
And you're listening to the Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro.
Now, this is a great story. Jake Metz is living a dream, and he does not want it to end. He won an Arena League title on Friday with the Philadelphia Soul, worked out with the Eagles on Monday, and was impressive enough to earn a contract. Now he's set to play against the Jets. He's got his chance to make an NFL roster, and the Philadelphia-born defensive end is ready to rock and roll and play some inspired football. Jake, I know you met the media here. You've gone through this wild experience from Friday to now. What's it been like? How do you put it into words?
It's really hard to put into words. I'm still in shock, but more or less, I'm just focused on showing these guys what I got to make the team, and I'm excited to get out there on Thursday and play.
How did you keep your legs fresh and the emotions from Friday and the roller coaster that was through the weekend to now? Because you've got to have a lot of energy between now and the end of the night Thursday.
Yeah, I just put the soreness out of my head. You know, that's one thing you got to just put behind you. I've had no injuries up to this point, you know, bumps and bruises, but that doesn't matter. If you're a football player, you can get by that stuff.
For fans who don't know the difference, from your perspective, difference between Arena League football and having success there and then the game of football in the NFL?
Well, I know in Arena football, it's a lot faster. I don't think I played enough here to really, you know, compare them, but I'll have a better answer for you after Thursday.
What's the mindset for Thursday?
Kick some butt. Go Eagles.
And from a technique standpoint, you said you feel like you're there coming along. I mean, it's impossible to learn all in one day or 2 days. You have enough to get by on Thursday.
Yeah. I'm actually about to go talk to coach right now and go over some film, and he's going to give me some schemes. He said we're going to keep it pretty vanilla and, you know, up front, and just he's going to let us play, which is cool.
What a fantastic opportunity, Jake. I mean, I know you're super excited to make the most of it.
It's amazing, and my family is so happy, you know, friends as well. Everyone's so pumped. They're all going to be at the game, and to be able to play for the hometown is just a dream come true.
Well, good luck and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
The starters aren't playing on Thursday, but that doesn't mean they are idle all week. But what do they do, actually? Center Jason Kelce talks about the first, quote, bye week of the season for the starting players. Jason, this is a big week for those who are trying to make the roster. This is also a week when the veteran starters don't play. So what do you do all week? Fans really don't know.
Well, obviously we've been through a long training camp up to this point, so your bodies are a little bit banged up and bruised, and this will be a good week for the starters to, first of all, we can start our attention on the Cleveland Browns. We don't really have to focus too much on this game. And then second of all, we get to kind of get our bodies and some of the sorenesses and things back up under us and get a little bit healthier to get the season rolling.
So this is the week when you actually start watching film on Cleveland and getting a sense of what they do defensively?
Yeah, well, the starters. It's not like a team-wide thing. You know, obviously we still have one more game here to prepare for on Thursday. For a lot of these young guys, it's extremely important for them, so you don't want to take away from that. But obviously with the starters not playing, you know, our attention is going to be on Cleveland.
What is it like, Jason? You've been through it once before as a rookie, kind of going into that last game. Maybe for you it was a different feeling. You knew you were going to make the team. Do you remember what it was like?
Yeah, I didn't play in the game. I was already announced to be the starter before that game, actually.
You remember the feeling of excitement that you had knowing that you were going to be a starter?
Yeah, that was tremendous. Obviously, there was a really good center here at the time, Jamal Jackson, who had been here for a while, who was coming off some injuries. You know, Howard Mudd came in and he wanted a little bit more athletic center, and I fit kind of the system that he wanted to do a little bit more. So they gave me every opportunity when they announced that I was going to be the starter. It was obviously couldn't have been happier for myself. You know, that was something that, you know, you work your whole life for just to get a chance to be in the NFL. And then when they tell you you're going to start game one of your rookie season, that's a pretty good way to start off.
What's the biggest difference between Jason Kelce 2011, Jason Kelce 2016?
My knowledge of the game is higher, obviously, just having more experience. Obviously, whenever you're into like a new situation, you can't help but be a little nervous or uncertain of what's going to happen. You know, even though you've been playing football your whole life, you go into your first NFL game, you're kind of unsure of how it's all going to go down. And I think now, obviously, I've been through so many of them that you kind of have a feeling of, you know, you've been there before, you know how to handle certain situations, and you have more of a at ease mentality. You know, now I'm in a different position. Now it's kind of my job to make sure other guys are ready to go. I'm much more of a leader now than I was back then. Back then, I kind of was just this young kid that brought a lot of energy and excitement to the team. And now I'm kind of this old guy that's still got to find a way to motivate some of his other peers and get them going.
How does Jason Kelce motivate?
I think the best way to motivate, and not necessarily on game day, but the best way to lead is always by doing it yourself. So going hard day in, day out, you know, every drill you do in practice, try and set the tone and set the example. This is how we do it as a Philadelphia Eagle. And I think on game day, you just try and stay focused and make sure that other guys are focused. And as long as you're kind of doing things the right way, usually people tend to take notice.
Do you have a sense of what this team is all about, how good you can be? Or is that something you really don't know until you get into the actual regular season?
I always think that we're really, really good until we start playing games, and then you really find out for sure. For some reason, every offseason, I feel like we've made improvements, we've made corrections, and I'm all in, and I'm really excited to play games and think that we're going to have an outstanding season. This is my sixth year with the Philadelphia Eagles and in the NFL, and I've kind of, through the years, realized that you can't put too much emphasis on offseason and preseason workouts and stuff like that. I think you find out what guys are made of and what a team is made of once the real bullets start flying. So, you know, we'll get a good feel here. I'm excited. I think that we have a chance to be really good, but you really can't tell until you start playing games and putting guys in those situations where, you know, it's adversity strikes. How do you handle it? How does a team handle it? And hopefully we'll do a good job this year.
Thank you.
Yep.
How is wide receiver Jordan Matthews coming along? Well, he won't play in the preseason at all after suffering a knee injury in training camp, but Matthews says he's going to be full go for Cleveland on September 11. Jordan, what's this week like for you, kind of knowing that a lot of your friends and teammates are putting in a lot of time? They've been working really hard for the last several months. Some of them won't be here. And then also, you know, your mind on Cleveland.
You know, it's always that kind of time when you start knowing that reality is going to hit for a lot of guys. But, you know, the good part about it is, man, it's still ball. You still get a chance to go out there, play football, support the guys who are playing for the guys who aren't. And then, you know, the guys who aren't playing, obviously, man, the focus is already shifted to Cleveland. And it just gives you that much more time really to hone in on what we need to do and the business that we need to take care of next Sunday. So I know everybody's excited, but first things first, we want to cheer on those young guys. We can't worry about everything else. We're still in-house, man. We got to cheer on those guys, make sure they finish out the preseason strong.
Are you the biggest fan on Thursday night for these other receivers who are going
to
be playing?
Yeah, of course, man. You know, I've gotten close to a lot of them, man. You know, all of them work hard. Watt, Marcus, Caleb, and then PT. I mean, he's done an amazing job so far. So I'm foreseeing him continue to progress and watch the other guys go out there and make plays with, you know, more time and more reps. You know, I think DGB and Josh might go like maybe a series or so. You know, cheer on those guys. Let them know, stay healthy. Do your job, stay healthy, come back on sideline, and then get your rest so we can get ready for Cleveland too. But for the most part, I want those young guys to do their thing, hopefully make this team more than our team.
What has it been like for you dealing with an injury?
It actually, you know, hasn't been as bad as I thought. You know, obviously it's unfortunate. It's not something that you know, hope that will happen. You know, I feel like everything happens for a reason, you know, and if this would have happened to me a year ago, 2 years ago, I feel like mentally I would have been devastated. But I feel like over the past couple of years, the place God has taken me to mentally, I understand that, man, there's people in the world going through way worse things than I've ever gone through or that I would ever go through playing football. This is not just a privilege, this is an extreme blessing. So to be upset about an injury when it happens to a lot of people, I mean, how selfish would that be? How like self-centered would that be? So I just try and smile through it, support the guys, look at it as, hey, even though I'm out, this gives a guy like PT a chance to go out there and make more plays and show why he's valuable. And gives Nelson a chance to go out there and make more plays and go inside and outside. It gave us the opportunity to even probably go get a guy like DGB, you know, even think about that. And Josh, saw he was able to do last game from that position. So, like I said, good things have come out of it. Now that I'm back healthy, I'm ready just to join the team and get back going.
What do you miss when you're hurt? What's the thing you miss most when you're not able to play?
The routine. I'm a very routine person. You know, I wake up, I do the same thing. I eat breakfast at the same time. I catch the same time. Pray, read, like everything's boom, boom. And so it was so crazy, you know, the way Coach Peterson handles injuries, it's kind of like, you know, he has that player mindset. He knew when he was injured, there was no reason for him to be standing out at practice all day if he wasn't going to play that week. There was no reason for him to be at every walkthrough. It's like, you need to be getting healthy. So he says, hey, Jordan, you go to your treatment, then you go home. You come back and go to your second treatment again, then you get your butt out the building. So literally, I was spending at most 4 hours up here. There's only so much film you can watch. There's only so many workouts you can do with one leg and two arms. So just mentally, it's kind of weird getting out of your routine. But like I said, it's also good to know, hey, man, you know, you got a coach that says, okay, I understand you're injured and I understand you're a grown man. I know you're going to take care of your business. So I'm going to give you that time to get healthy.
How do you feel about the offense as you look to September 11th?
I feel really good about it. I feel good about our camaraderie as a team. You know, just the closeness of everybody. I feel good about, you know, from lineman down, you know, JP being able to, you know, this is the system he was used to. So he has more time really to set his feet and get going. You know, a guy like JP isn't tired, that's problems for any defensive line. Kelsey, man, adding Brandon Brooks has been huge for us. You know what Sam's going to do. You know he's going to put the ball. It's well documented. I've talked about that enough. And then just from the skill positions, I love what we have, man. Brent Celek, Zach Ertz, Trey Burton. I've been saying Trey Burton since he got here. You know, people didn't believe him, but now they see it. So Trey Burton, you got Big DGB, you got Nelson, Josh, me, Sproles, Ryan Matthews, Kenyon. I think nobody talks about how consistent Kenyon is as a running back. So you've got all these guys, but you have no egos. And when you have that, I feel like that's when you can actually say, okay, we're a team, and now let's move forward. Let's give Sam the position where he's a leader. Let's follow the head, and let's go win games.
You got me fired up.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
See you September 11th.
All right. See you then.
Off the field we go with something special. November 28th promises to be a remarkable night at Lincoln Financial Field as the Green Bay Packers come to town and the Eagles honor their two newest inductees into the team's Hall of Fame. Former middle linebacker Jeremiah Trotter and the voice of the Eagles in his 40th season, Merrill Reese, join the hallowed names of the franchise's past. Trotter, naturally, is thrilled to be honored.
Just tell me how it feels. Has it sunken in? How it feels to be a member of the Philadelphia Eagles Hall of Fame?
Wow.
feels great, man. And, be going in with Merle and honor. It's always great to get recognized for your accomplishments. And, I try to lay it on the line each and every game. Last night when I was watching the highlights, I was thinking about my ex-teammates, how much of a part of my success they are, my ex-coaches, Tim and Jim Johnson on the big screen. Brought back a lot of memories and got a little emotional. And it's just a great honor. I thank Jeffrey for being the best owners in the world. And, Andy Reid being a great coach. And Jim Johnson, and just think about all the assistant coaches and my teammates. Without all these people, playing a hand and playing a part in, my growth as a player, as a person, wouldn't be possible.
For Reese, still going strong, the honor is a dream come true for a Philadelphia-born Eagles fan.
Merle, what does it mean to you to be in the Eagles Hall of Fame?
It's indescribable to be in a Hall of Fame with so many great players and people who have been such a great part of this organization in this city for so long. It means everything to me. I tell you that as a kid, I dreamed of being in the Eagles Hall of Fame, but as a quarterback. But seriously, to think that people care enough and that the Eagles have been kind enough to recognize me for just doing what I love to do and displaying my passion and my love and my excitement about this wonderful sport and in particular this wonderful team is one of the great moments of my life.
That will do it for this Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 30. I'm Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro. Please make sure you subscribe to our Eagles Live Podcast on iTunes, pass the word, and provide your feedback to us on Twitter, at Eagles Insider. Next week, we'll begin some questions, and we'll open up our phones for you to call and talk about the 2016 season ahead. What are your expectations for the Eagles? Thanks to Brian Thomas for putting this all together, and thanks to you for joining us on the Eagles Live Podcast. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!